Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
For your second symphony, rewritten by machine on new technology, and now I understand the supernova scene.
We're here for public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
I want to take the time, Commissioner Burkett, Commissioner Eddington, Commissioner Rowell. We had a lot of discussion 2 weeks ago, and I want to give you kudos for voting the will of the people. Thank you. It's been a while. As a person who's been involved in county government, it's been a while. Hold your head high. Don't listen to radio shows and newspapers that are never too kind to us. You did the right thing. And I appreciate it.
Say my name. Say my name. 611, Jared Cooey, who, as a friend, I've had him on the show. Don't listen to that, Andrew McKay. Which was a kind of a weird criticism. He was basically talking at the Santa Rosa County Commission meeting yesterday, praising the three commissioners who voted against the creation of the MSTU, the Municipal Services Taxing Units. We already have one in place for law enforcement. Second one would have been for public safety. Third one would have been for roads and infrastructure. And then, you know, they voted those down on a 3-2 vote. So he's praising the three. What I thought was weird about this is, I didn't come out in favor of the taxes. What did I say? If I don't pay it, I try not to take a stance, right? I mean, I really try to stay neutral on these tax questions because I always feel like it's a weird thing to be in favor of a thing if I don't have to pay the penalty for it. And I don't have to pay the penalty for, you know, a property tax in Santa Rosa County. But I did say you kind of got to pick. I did agree with Brad Baker, the county administrator, who said that, look, we got all these projects. We put all this money into studies and how, and plans, and then we don't have the money to do the project. And y'all either have to agree to a tax or you have to stop asking me for better roads. You cannot have it both. You can't brag about how we're the lowest tax in the state and we have the teeny tiny government that's super efficient. But with your less, do more. You know, like that's just not reasonable. And I will say, I think what Jerry had in mind was that he is one of the founding members of the Pitchfork Posse, one of the key people who stopped the wastewater treatment plant in Milton, for which I have criticized them often. Not as much him, particularly, but that, you know, one word. I get along well with Jerry. It's not a problem. But he did go on to say,
Commissioner Smith, you stood here 2 weeks ago and you told us it wasn't a tax increase. When we all knew it was, or a tax increase would be attempted. And then in the newspaper, you actually said what you were doing. It's not appreciated.
Yeah, and again, the MSTU for public safety was not meant to be a tax increase possibility. The one for roads, I actually thought it wasn't at first, but I thought that was going to be the one where they would ask for more because that's where you really need the more money. And then there were other tax issues as well. Kerry Smith, county commissioner and chairman, responding.
I only have one thing, and the one thing I've got to say is, there was three items that were in our last batch of meetings for the MSTU, MSBU. It was stated out in public or in social media world that Kerry Smith unilaterally is pushing out for three new taxes. Come and fight it. Okay. There was no new tax money in that. The MSBUs MSTUs were not addressing new tax dollars. The only thing that was new tax dollars is the one we unanimously passed, which was the MSBU for the stormwater. So I just want to make sure everybody's clear on how they direct people and making up their narratives. And that's all I've got.
And by the way, that's accurate. They voted down the two that did not contain in and of themselves a tax increase, although the second one could have been. And then the MSBU for the, you know, for the stormwater maintenance, that got voted up 5-0. In fact, we have numbers now. Brad Baker, the county administrator, and we'll talk about this with him when he's on in about a half hour, but he did reveal the amount that the stormwater maintenance is going to cost you if you're in the relevant subdivisions at the north and south end. If you want to know, I put a post up on our Facebook page last week that has all of the subdivisions listed in, on a map.
Then the two that we talked about last week, we did open the bids on those. The north stormwater MSBU, those 1,687 parcels would be $60 annually. The south one would be $75 annually, and they're 1,728.
There you go. So not very much. $60 annually in the north, $75 annually in the south is, you know, a few bucks a month. It's not that big of a deal to get better service. So I would imagine that people aren't going to be all that worked up about that. But you never know. You never know. It is a tax increase, but it is one that people seem to have wanted at least somewhat. Let's see. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are actually flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays in front of West Florida Hospital going southbound on Davis. So just be aware of that. I'm not seeing any other delays. That's a look at your traffic. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives. This the history of the Blue Angels is presented by Calvert's in the Heights.
In 1953, the Blue Angels were scheduled to change over to a newer version of the F9F Panther, the F9F6 Cougar. They took delivery on August 4, 1953. While flying the new planes from New York to their home at Corpus Christi, Lieutenant Commander Ray Hawkins experienced a life-threatening malfunction at supersonic speed. The six planes were flying in a line abreast formation at 40,000 feet over Mississippi when Hawkins' plane suddenly went out of control. He was thrown down into a vertical loop, screaming towards Earth. Despite his best attempts to adjust the trim to recover, the plane dove deeper and faster. Centrifugal force was pulling him out of his seat, although the seatbelts and canopy prevented him from falling out. A glance at the instrument panel showed he was losing altitude quickly and was traveling well over the speed of sound. The tremendous G-forces prevented him from reaching the lever that would jettison the canopy and a moment later eject the pilot. Fortunately, he was able to reach the emergency lever that ejected the seat and pilot, albeit by blasting through the plastic canopy. He survived the ordeal with a few cuts and scratches and one cracked rib. He was the first Navy pilot to make an ejection at such high speeds and survive. Years later, Ray Hawkins became the chief of staff for the Naval Aviation Museum Foundation at NAS Pensacola. The problem with his plane was caused by a malfunction in the hydraulic valves that controlled the flying tail. The F9F6 Cougars never did find a home with the Blue Angels, and the 1953 season was completed with the F9F Panthers. In 1954, the Blue Angels welcomed its first Marine aviator, Captain Chuck Height, to the team. Since then, it has been tradition to reserve at least one of the six pilot positions for a representative of the United States Marine Corps. Between the 1954 and 1955 seasons, the Blue Angels made the transition to another Grumman Cougar, the swept-wing F9F8, and at the beginning of the 55 season, the Blue Angels flew their Cougars to their new home base, Sherman Field, on board NAS Pensacola, where they've remained ever since. I'll be back with more after this.
Are you looking for a unique restaurant experience? It's Calvert's in the Heights, a one-of-a-kind English-themed restaurant and pub with stunning views of Escambia Bay. Enjoy delicious cuisine from British fare to American bar foods to fresh home-cooked meals. Or stop into the pub for a great selection of beers, liquors, and wines. You'll find it all at Calvert's. Don't miss the Red, White, and Blues Watch Party, Saturday, July 12th, 10:30 till 3. Replace the heat and traffic with cold AC and frosty drinks and the Blue Angels Air Show on the big screen. Calvert's in the Heights, 670 Scenic Highway.
Witness a change of command ceremony like you've never seen before. Next time on News Radio's History of the Blue Angels.
Culver's could only have started in Wisconsin. Enjoy goodness from America's Dairyland, like real Wisconsin cheese on their juicy butter burgers, the farm fresh dairy in their fresh frozen custard made fresh daily at each restaurant, or even their crispy golden Wisconsin cheese curds, now featuring cotton dinners and sandwiches. Visit Culver's today, Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, and Highway 90 in Milton. Curbside service is now available as well as third-party delivery with DoorDash and Uber Eats. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Coming up on the 4th of July is the free Pensacola Fireworks presented by Pensacola Young Professionals and the Pensacola Chamber.
At 7:30, be at Community Maritime Park for Pensacola Symphony's free Sparks and Stars concert, sponsored by Peter Muget. You can also listen to the symphony broadcast live at 7:30 right here on News Radio 92.3. Continue listening at 9 as the fireworks will be synchronized to the music presented by Penn Air Credit Union. Bring your radio and enjoy the 4th of July.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9 right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Timothy.
Present.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, plans have been approved for a detention center nicknamed Alligator Alcatraz in the Florida Everglades. Florida Attorney General says the site of an old airstrip could be used to house up to 1,000 migrants.
People get out. There's not much waiting for them other than alligators and pythons. Nowhere to go, nowhere to hide.
The mayor of Miami-Dade has concerns about the environmental impact this could have on the Everglades, which is the source of their clean drinking water.
Wait, so you're worried that the immigrants are too dirty for your upstream water sourcing? Is that what you're concerned about? So weird. Oh, man. Alligator Alcatraz. That's funny.
Oh, no, I like it. Have you ever been to the Everglades?
I have, yeah.
Taking the swamp boat ride through there?
No, we just drove and then, went out and pet the alligator. Joke. looked around and it's a lot of flat, marshy land, you know? I mean,
when I was in South Florida, I did that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did a fan boat tour or whatever you call those. Oh, okay. All right.
Yep.
Loved it. So Alligator Alcatraz, we're going to house the migrants now. So what was the number? Oh, I'm going to get this number wrong. Half of all the cooperating law enforcement agencies with ICE are in Florida. You know, like how Santa Rosa and Escambia have partnership agreements. Half? I think that's right. I think that's the number.
In the entire country?
Yes. It was a weird number. I was like, that cannot be right. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Alligator Alcatraz. That's got a ring to it.
It does kind of.
I really like it.
Instead of reopening Alcatraz, terrible idea, we can open Alligator Alcatraz, the Alcatraz of the East.
Absolutely.
There you go.
It's got
or the Alcatraz
potential.
Of the Southeast.
Marketing potential for sure. President Trump expressing some frustrations with both Israel and Iran after the ceasefire was announced very soon after, some accusations of its terms being violated. Boarding Marine One this morning, he's heading off to the NATO summit in Netherlands. He said he's not happy with either country at the moment. A California state lawmaker introducing the No Vigilantes Act that would require law enforcement operating in California to clearly display identification, including their name and their badge number.
Why do they hate Batman so much?
Oh, I didn't even think about how that would affect Batman.
I mean, all your superheroes are all vigilantes, right? That's the gig.
Pretty much, yeah.
You know, they're taking the law into their own hands, and sometimes they're vigilantes who kill, sometimes they're vigilantes who maim, sometimes they're Spider-Man. You know, but they're all vigilantes, you know, operating outside the law without any legal sanction and, you know, doing what makes sense to them. So I don't know why. Is California? Why does California? Is that where this was? California?
Right. That's California.
Yeah. Why does California hate Spider-Man and Batman and, you know, Superman? Whatever.
That is a good question. And Fed Chairman Jerome Powell.
Best transition ever. I'm going to totally ignore you. I've got this other thing I got to say.
Fed Chairman Jerome Powell is testifying today before the House Financial Services Committee. And he'll be presenting the Fed's semi-annual monetary policy report.
Okay. I have to acknowledge, I had forgotten or failed to follow, but Where are we at with India and Pakistan? Have they made nice now? Are they still fighting? Are they still skirmishing? I mean, it's, you know, long, similar.
They were doing okay. Isn't that?
I thought they had mostly agreed to, like, not be fighting anymore.
Isn't that why Trump got nominated for a Nobel Prize?
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's right. Well, but then he dropped bombs on Iran. Bomb, 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 Iran. And don't you remember that parody from back in the day? Anyway,
I haven't heard that in forever. Yeah,
I don't think that's the original lyrics of that song, But the follow-up was that a day later, Pakistan rescinded their nomination of him for the Nobel Prize. You know, they were nominating him for resolving the India-Pakistan dispute, and then he bombs Iran. And no, can't have a Nobel. I actually think the other way around. Like, that is a peace action. And, of course, time will tell, right? But anyway, David, thanks so much for the update. Sometimes stern, decisive military action is the most peace-achieving thing you can do. Right, remember that. Put on my professor's hat for a second. Why is war justified? It's not a trick question. Why is war justified? Well, you know, they attacked us so we can attack them. Okay, self-defense. Okay, fair enough, sure. But why is war justified? The problem is people don't ever ask the big questions. War is justified for, there can be differing reasons, but the primary justification of war, the justice of the war, is one question that philosophers ask. The justice of the warfare is a second question. After the war itself is justified, then you have to also justify your means. You can use illegal or unethical means in the prosecution of a just war. You know, proportionality, selection of targets, discrimination of targets in favor of combatants and military as opposed to civilians and so forth. Anyway, proportionality in response. You know, if somebody throws 14 bottle rockets at your backyard, you don't throw a nuke at them. You know, that, I mean, for instance. But I digress. The primary justification of war is that it produces peace. The purpose of war is to produce peace, which ironically is also the purpose of deterrence, is to produce peace. So both have the same objective, both warfare and deterrence, which is show of force to use in warfare, to produce peace. So if you use, for example, dropping bombs on nuclear facilities and then achieve a peace, justified. Anyway, John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
No accidents to report to you right now, but if you are on Davis Highway, both north and southbound, right around the West Florida Hospital, you're going to see about a 7 to 9 minute delay just due to congestion right there. But again, no accidents to report. I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
All right, I've gotten myself into it. I got to explain more now, too.
Yes, so. You do.
Well, okay. What have some people been saying? You know, I wish that Trump would have retaliated against the 14 bottle rockets that, you know, Iran warned us they were going to shoot, and we cleared the airspace and nobody got hurt. I wish we would have had a decisive response to that to overwhelmingly show them how stupid that was. I understand the impulse. I do. But no, that's not how this works. First of all, any overwhelming response would be disproportional, and the rules of warfare require you to have proportionality in your response. Again, you know, they shoot one sniper rifle into your city, you don't launch a nuke into their city. That's illegal and immoral. But again, keep in mind the end point. What is the end goal? To produce peace. If you overwhelmingly retaliate against them, is that likely to produce peace, or does that actually interfere with peace? Well, letting them have their little show of flares, you know, basically, is a way of allowing them to save a little face so that they can maybe sell peace to their people. I think it's a good strategy not to respond. But that's the point. Like, why is terrorism bad? You say, well, terrorism isn't bad because it's mean and makes people afraid. No. Terrorism is a military strategy, right? Terrorism as a strategy is to discriminate against civilians, is to use women and children and the defenseless as a way of making people so hate the price tag of warfare with you that they would capitulate, either to your social demands or to some political arrangement if they're a state actor like Iran. Okay, but why is terrorism wrong? Well, first of all, it violates the first rule of the warfare, the justice of the warfare, which is to pick civilian targets as opposed to picking military targets. Again, think how Iran attacks how Israel attacks Iran's military targets and Iran attacks Israel's civilian targets. Israel is right, Iran is wrong. But also, terrorism, the fundamental reason why terrorism is so wrong is because it makes peace that much harder. Because if you engage in terrorism, you infuriate people. You take a fist fight and you turn it into a knife fight or a gun fight, or as we learned the other day, a car fight. But you make it more of a problem. And so then people are less willing to engage in peace with you because you have so offended and alienated and done evil, terrible, horrible things. It's like torture. If you practice torture on captured prisoners of war, why is that so wrong? Because it makes them hate you so much that they cannot see clearly enough to engage in peace with you. And the end goal, the end state of justified warfare is always the settlement of peace. Otherwise, you can't justify war. Otherwise, war is just whoever's strongest. So tactics like terrorism are wrong precisely because they are the opposite of war. They are not aimed at peace. They are aimed at retaliation, at retribution, at expressions of hate, as opposed to out of a purpose of achieving some just outcome in which both parties or all the parties involved can live in peace with each other, which, again, is the end justification of the use of force, legitimate use of force. All right, lecture ends here. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm Gianna Gelosi. President Trump says he's not happy with Israel or Iran, saying both sides violated a ceasefire agreement hours after it went into effect.
Iranian state TV now denies that they will that the Iranian government, the Iranian military, was responsible for those one or two missiles that went into Israel's north. We're still looking to confirm the specific number on that. Now, that missile was intercepted and landed without injury, but not without consequence.
Fox's Mike Tobin in Beersheba, Israel. All of this comes as the president heads to The Hague for a NATO summit.
Talk of the Middle East will likely dominate the NATO summit, which was intended to focus on deterrence and defense in Europe. NATO members, with the exception of Spain, have agreed to raise defense spending to 5% of their GDP.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is a beautiful morning. We've got 75 degrees and partly cloudy skies. Of course, we'll get a check on our forecast with Brooke Richardson here in just a few minutes. Well, yesterday's weather caused a few issues in Santa Rosa County. A 19-year-old reportedly suffered some minor injuries after being struck by lightning, or at least in the proximity of a lightning strike. That teen reportedly was hurt at a restaurant in Navarre Beach when lightning struck the area. Fire rescue officials say that was just one of several incidents as those storms moved through Navarre Beach and the surrounding areas. Officials also reported a structure fire that was caused by a lightning strike, a kayaker that was in the water when the storms approached the area and ended up being in distress because of the change in weather, folks trapped in elevators due to power outages, and a shipping container that washed ashore due to weather conditions. Some of the world's best golfers might be coming to Walton County. The PGA Tour's proposed holding a tournament in Sandestin. County tourism officials, though, don't want to help with funding that, although their county commission did vote last week to form a board to see if there were other ways they could support the event. The owners of Pace Pharmacy have been arrested again on additional charges related to an alleged illegal drug scheme. Stephen and Monique Burklow, they were out on bond after an arrest last month. They were rearrested yesterday on some new charges. Both face additional felony and misdemeanor drug possession charges. FDLE says those charges stem from items that were found in their home when a search warrant was served. 22-year-old Lakin Burklow was also arrested on drug possession charges. All three were booked into the Santa Rosa jail and then released on bond around 4 p.m. yesterday. Stephen and Monique were both arrested back in May. They're accused of conspiring to traffic prescription drugs as part of the Dr. Elaine Sharp alleged pill mill operation. Sharp is currently in jail on murder charges relating to that. Santa Rosa County's SAFE Act could be going to communities nationwide. Sheriff Bob Johnson yesterday presented the program to the National Sheriffs Association annual conference.
This is the SAFE Act that we started in Santa Rosa County, where you, if you have a special needs person in your family, you go online and you register, and then we send you stickers for your car and for the door at your house. So when we interact with, you know, on the traffic stop or at their home, we know that there's somebody inside the vehicle or house that may not respond as expected.
And Sheriff Bob Johnson there, the conference being held through Thursday in Fort Lauderdale. Well, if you're headed to Navarre Beach this week, you might want to, as they always say, pack your patience.
Are you thinking about spending some time in Navarre? If your plans take you over that way, make sure you bring along a little bit of patience. Motorists are going to experience shoulder closures this week as construction on the Navarre Beach Causeway seawall continues. $1.1 million construction contract was set to expire on April 2nd. However, during the construction phase, additional problems were identified. Weather permitting, that project should be completed by Friday. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Oh, thank you very much, Chris. And that brings us to our traffic on the fives with our very own John Pickens. Good morning, John.
Well, good morning, David. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. But if you're on Davis Highway, right in front of West Florida Hospital, both north and southbound, you might want to pack your patience with that one. We're just seeing some congestion delays associated with that. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Nice throwback, John. I appreciate that. 6:35 here, News Radio 92.3, and it is 75 degrees, partly cloudy. Let's get a check on our forecast with Channel 3 meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We do have a 30% chance of some pop-up showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon today, high near 94 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. For Wednesday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high near 95. Storms could last later into the evening on Wednesday, low Wednesday night near 77 degrees. For Thursday, 40% chance of rain with a high near 92. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEART Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
It's 75 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies. Your next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Oil prices are sharply lower after Israel agreed to President Trump's proposal for a ceasefire with Iran, alleviating worries about supply disruptions in the Middle East. West Texas Intermediate is sitting at $66.64 per barrel. Brent currently sitting at $69.55 per barrel. Britain's Competition and Markets Authority said it's consulting on a proposal to give Google strategic market status. The CMA laid out changes for Google if its strategic market status designation is successful, including choice screens and non-discriminatory search rankings. Amazon said it will invest $54 billion in the UK over the next 3 years to build new warehouses and upgrade existing operations across the country. The announcement was cheered by the British government, who has been courting investments from major tech players as of late, as it looks to boost domestic growth and productivity. Futures are moderately higher as Israel and Iran's ceasefire takes effect. Monday, the Dow Industrials gained 374. That's your money now.
This is Pastor Carl Gallops of the Hickory Hammock Baptist Church here in Milton. If you're looking for a church family that is truly amazing, let me invite you to come and worship with us this Sunday. Here's what you'll find: a church whose doors are open to all people wishing to worship and serve the Lord. You'll find a church where the exaltation of Jesus and the accurate preaching and teaching of the contextual Word of God is the centerpiece. You'll find a consistently solid, peaceful, and friendly family of multiplied hundreds of people. You'll find dynamic, spirit-filled worship services, youth ministries, children's ministries, senior adult ministries, men and women's ministries, praise teams, choirs, ensembles, and drama ministries. Plenty of opportunity for Bible study and guidance for your Christian life. In other words, when you and your family get up on Sunday mornings from now on, you'll say, "Oh, good, it's time to go to church." For directions and worship service times, look us up in the phone book or call the church office at 623-8959. Or visit us on the web at www.hickoryhammockbaptist.org. And then we'll see you Sunday.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? That's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. That's the sound of over $20 billion in new investments to produce EVs and batteries in Michigan. And that? That's the silence of Michigan's new En-ROAD wireless charging system. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org.
When it comes to your dream home, at Pinair Credit Union, we think you deserve to be picky. So buy that perfect place that just speaks to you. Or build a new home just the way you like it. Because at Pinair Credit Union, we deliver affordable and flexible home mortgages and construction loans designed to make your next home a dream come true. Find all you need to get started at pinair.org/homeloan. Whether you're buying or building, Pinair Home Loans fit you perfectly. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender.
What does the future of mobility in Michigan sound like? That's the sound of new EV charging stations at our state parks. That's the sound of over $20 billion in new investments to produce EVs and batteries in Michigan. And that? That's the silence of Michigan's new En-ROAD wireless charging system. Discover all the ways MEDC is driving next-gen mobility in Michigan at michiganbusiness.org.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
I just want to listen, man. I love this song by ZZ Top. That's good stuff. All right, John. Thanks so much. 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Brad Baker is the administrator for Santa Rosa County. Brad, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, always great to have you. Let's talk about a couple of things that are going on, and then I did not watch the budget meeting yesterday. 3.5 hours, I thought, I'll wait. but I will watch it. But a couple of things came up in the regular meeting, which was the actual regular meeting yesterday. It was not the committee meeting because people are out of town, I guess, and it's the 4th of July and all that for Thursday. What is going on with the East Milton Master Plan? Is this is still open for input, and maybe for people who don't know, what is this gonna involve?
So, what we're trying to do is plan out East Milton. We know the growth that's coming there. Hopefully, the state will move forward with the four laning of Highway 90 in the near future, and then we do have the interstate running through there. Already have a four lane. Have a lot of economic development coming to that area, so it's a way that we can kind of plan out what we think East Milton should look like. You know, everybody complains that we didn't plan out PACE and, you know, it was horribly designed and how the development happened. So we're trying to do that in East Milton. And we're engaging with the citizens now. We've already met with all the stakeholders, such as, you know, East Milton Water, FPL, things like that. And, now there's a public meeting next Monday evening out there in at the East Milton Equine Center there. I can't remember exactly what it's called, off of Bobby Brown Road. A couple hours for the public to come and engage, see some of the plans, give their input on, give us their direction, what they would like to see in East Milton. And then we'll do all of that and report back to the board and get further direction on kind of how they want to push for growth in East Milton based on whether it's capacity that our partners have given us or direction that the citizens would like to see. So it's really trying to plan the future of East Milton, where we know where to focus, the infrastructure improvements, whether that's sewer. Our plan is going in there. We already talked about capacity for the neighboring parcels. So really just trying to define what, the area is going to look like a decade from now.
Gotcha. And you and I have talked about this before, but you just made me think of it because your comment about the four laning of Highway 90, which you say soon. I mean, a decade if we're optimistic, right? It's probably not that soon. But it seems to me like the hospital facility or medical facility. I don't know if people are saying any more details on that, but I think that's more likely to be built before the highway is widened. I mean, unless you think I'm mistaken. If you think I'm mistaken, I'm glad to hear it. But
oh, no, I think you're 100%. When I say soon, meaning, let's have the discussion. We're actually considering it.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. I think it's a decade before we see a four lane. But we're doing everything we can to motivate the state through our legislative branches, through our partnerships, through our relationships with DOT. So we're doing everything we can to try to move it up.
Gotcha.
All of our board is on the TPO. So we're working everything you can. But 100%, I agree with you. The medical facilities, I think there is gaining some movement on that. I think they're just trying to find, what works best and what makes the most sense for the East Milton area. But that is a priority of our board. you know, multiple ones, including the district commissioner, has expressed that that is a priority to get medical services to the east side of town.
Yeah, I mean, just because there's no other way to get people in. If there's an emergency and it's rush hour, just there's no answer to this problem, and that's really not a good thing.
Hey, yeah, and there's no emergency center out there, but there's also no primary care.
So. Right. Right. And I mean, you know, the kinds of things that you fix through better planning, or at least, you know, when people realize there's a need. We're talking to Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110, 2990 are all flowing smoothly. No issues. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. I didn't watch this meeting, but you had the big budget meeting yesterday, 3.5 hours-ish. I assume the board voted on a millage rate?
Yeah, so we kept the same millage rate. It will be it'll be laid out a little different because we did set a rate of 2.074 for the law enforcement MSTU. So on your trim notice, the total millage will be the same, you know, 5.955. Just 2.074 that will go to law enforcement, and that's only one component of law enforcement. That is the sworn LE. That's the one we worked with the sheriff and felt like we could, you know, really track the best and show a clean division because he's also responsible for all the jail personnel. He's responsible for court security, all the non-sworn LE, the dispatchers that work for him, the people who are processing civil warrants, et cetera. So about $35 million will go into that MSCU. His budget is still, I believe it's another $48 million that'll be in the general fund. But it goes to that, what we are trying to get across is let's be more transparent. Let's show the people where their taxes are being spent at and, you know, what better way than the trim notice. You know, people aren't going to go look at our budget, or not many of them will.
Right.
But they'll look at their trim notice when it comes in, and then they'll be able to see, all right, this is going to the school board, this is going to the sheriff, this is going to the commissioners.
So. Okay, so about what is it? My quick math says 3.881 for the non-law enforcement trim notice mill rate. Is that right? Something just
that
under four, right?
It'd be that in that 3.8 whatever range.
So, just question about that. Why only pay for part of the sheriff through the law enforcement mill rate? Why not push it to the full $48 million and make it, you know, what, 2.5, 2.7, something like that? I'm just doing quick math in my head, so that really people can see the full cost of the sheriff and the jail on that line.
So the sheriff had expressed some concerns initially about that, and he had spoken with some of his colleagues. So we're trying to come up with a starting point that the sheriff was comfortable with, the board was comfortable with. The other thing is we have to have a MOU or MOA with the two municipalities, the city of Milton and the city of Guthrie, MSTU in their municipalities. So now we'll go into discussions and negotiations with them on what it'll look like. And being court and the jail serve the entire county, it made sense to leave them in there so we could apply that on the city of Guthrie's and the city of Milton if they chose not to do this.
Got it. And I remember that conversation with Sam Abel about how this seems like it's straightforward, but then when you start to involve the cities and the way their taxes are collected, that it becomes a very complicated question. So I thank you for reminding me about that. I had completely forgotten about that. Also, let's see. You announced this yesterday that the MSBU for the storm pond maintenance in subdivisions, the north was going to be 75 and the south was going to be 60. And that list is up on our Facebook page if you want to see it. Is that right?
Back. Flip that around.
Oh, 60 in the north, 75 in the south.
The north was lower.
Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
75. There are a few more ponds in the south. There's a few more wet ponds, so that bid came in a little higher.
Okay, got it. So 60 in the north, 75 in the south. For people who are just hearing about this, and, you know, they may not care much about $5 or $6 a month, but okay, what do they get? Like, what are they getting for that extra money?
So we try to get to all of our ponds about once every 2, sometimes 3 years. Some of those ponds we've not got to in a while. This will put somebody doing the mowing of those and inspection of those on a monthly basis. They'll have to mow 4 times, with 3 of it being during our peak growing season, which obviously is right now. spring through early fall, and then they have to do inspections and litter cleanup every month that they're not mowing. So,
wow.
Somebody will visit that site once a month, all 12 months for that.
Wow. I mean, for $5 or $6 a month, you get site and visitation and maintenance every month versus maybe once a year or two. I mean, that's like, wow, that's a major improvement in service quality. So outstanding. I don't pay the tax, but if I were, one of those rare cases where as a homeowner, I'd be like, oh, I would take that deal. Hey, we had a quick bad storm in Navarre yesterday. We had one person was hit by lightning and also some construction debris was thrown into the Sound. Is that right?
Yeah, their storage container that they had had some of their stuff in, pretty nasty sail come over to Navarre Beach, and the contractor that's doing our seawall stabilization project out there, his container, I think it was like a pods container, blew off there into the Sound, and they
wow.
were working to retrieve that yesterday evening when they sent me the message on that, and then of course EMS did not transport that one that got struck. I believe they went POV to the little standalone ER there. So hopefully they'll be fine.
Any other damage in the area that you notice? Anything that you guys got called in to handle?
They got a couple of lightning strikes of structures, but I didn't hear of any
fires or anything.
I think the fire department was able to, no big fires or anything.
Okay. Last thing I wanted to ask you about, Brad, is the courthouse. I know you guys talked about this yesterday. It's, $100,000 a year to maintain the courthouse and keep it cool when necessary and heated when necessary. And you're looking for a solution to offload it, somebody develop it, something, please take it off our hands. But where are we at? Is that right?
Yeah, so the board of directors in January to hold off on putting that RFP out to see what kind of proposals we could get until the, May-June timeline. So we're approaching ready to release it and took that action to the board, and they have decided they would like to wait till, say, the October timeline. Let's see if interest rates will come down, any teaser rates that might would get somebody interested in, a big commercial development. And obviously we want to revitalize downtown Milton with that. We want either someone to come in and, repurpose the courthouse, tear it down and build something better. Whatever their proposal is, we want them to submit that and, see what we can do to help revitalize downtown Milton.
Very good. Brad Baker, he is Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for keeping us informed, and I appreciate what you do. I know it's not always the easiest work, but, it is good work that you and your folks do, and you do have really some fantastic folks that work for you. Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator, we'll talk to you again soon, sir.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Take care.
Absolutely. 652 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you are considering a real estate transaction, buying a second home or a vacation rental, a beach house, moving from the beach to the mainland, from Santa Rosa to Escambia, from Escambia to Santa Rosa, or just, up or down, it's life changes. You're getting family or, family's moving out. I mean, whatever. Everybody's got different things. Maybe you just want to change. I don't know. Call Christina Leavenworth and talk with her about it. And I really, really, I strongly recommend before you make a decision, call her. Because what happens is a lot of times we think we get a realtor after we've decided what to do, instead of getting a realtor to help us decide what to do. And the advantage of that is you don't get invested in a path that may not be the smartest one for you. But if you kind of do the investigation while you're considering paths, then she can give you perspective that might help you make a better path choice. And that's always, I think, the best way to go. So give her a call. She loves to talk to people about real estate, loves to meet them, loves to give answers. And, you become a client, great. You become a friend, great. Either way, that's how she thinks about it. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed. Stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Explore a wide range of local and fresh produce at the Saturday Farmers Market in Navarre from 10 till 2 at South 87 and Segura Corner. Summer Saturdays, live band performances continue with free shows from noon till 4 at The Garden at Perfect Plain on Garden Street. This week, check out the band Caviar Waves. Find more events and submit yours at newsradio923.com.
Hi, this is Ildi Hossman. I'm a volunteer with the Pensacola Chamber. Tune in Tuesday, July 1st at 10:30 to hear all about the 4th of July celebration happening downtown with our guest Anna Lochis, president of the Pensacola Young Professionals, and Brent Lane from Cat Country 98.7. Hear all about the activities and the spectacular fireworks show synchronized on Cat Country 98.7. That's Tuesday, July 1st at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Good morning, 656 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yeah, you know you're old.
That's what I was thinking.
If you're singing those words, your knees hurt and get up in the morning. Let's see, John Pickens. By the way, when does this get better? This gets better, right? We stop bumping into things, forgetting why we went into a room. That goes down when you get older, right? Later, eventually?
Right, Andrew. Yes. Yes,
dang
Andrew.
It. Never yes. The answer I want. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Seeing some minor delays on Avalon Boulevard southbound as you approach I-10. Just a minor delay there. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
The bumping into things thing kills me because I am a coordinated person. I feel like the guy in Office Space, you know?
I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand it?
I am good at walking and carrying and lifting. I have dexterity. I may not have in speed, but I have agility. And then recent evidence would be to the contrary. Nobody warns you. All right, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You were a coordinator.
Stop it! This gets better, though, right? Anyway, go on.
Yes, it does, Andrew.
Of course it does. Just eat your yogurt and calm down. President Trump expressing frustration with both Israel and Iran after the ceasefire was announced, followed very closely after by accusations of its terms being violated. Trump was boarding Marine One this morning, heading off to the NATO summit as he made comments saying he's not happy with either Israel or Iran at the moment. Bad company and, hold on, let me make sure. Mott the Hoopie? Hoople? Is that ring
yeah,
a bell?
No idea.
Co-founder.
But you're not having a stroke, right?
No. I've got this contact that like veers off, and I've got one eye that's blurry. Co-founder Mick Ralphs has passed away at 81. His rep confirmed his death Monday, but so far no cause of death has been announced. But he wrote hit songs for Bad Company, Can't Get Enough, and
Mott
like
the Hoople.
The Hoople.
Mott the Hoople.
Okay, see, yeah, I couldn't determine.
I'm just reading off the screen. But when you were talking about it, I back Googled you. So well, I figured it out.
I appreciate it. See, that's teamwork. I love that.
Bad Google sounds like something you do in an R-plus movie.
Yeah, Andrew, that's why I was like, okay, sir.
Maybe don't use that expression again. Yeah. Go on, David.
And if you're headed to Oklahoma City today, they're honoring the NBA champion Thunder today. They're hosting the 2025 championship parade downtown this morning.
All right, very good. 4th of July duck races in Blackwater River. 5 p.m. is when you have the Great Milltown Duck Race. You could win $1,500, and I absolutely promise that as a result of that race, and whatever you do or do not win, there will not be any back Googling. Listen.